This is Dusty Rhodes reporting for the Education Desk. Late last week, the Federal Department of Education issued guidelines telling school districts across the country to allow transgender students to use bathrooms and locker rooms that match their gender identity. But 9 days earlier, that guidance was already the subject of a legal complaint filed in a Chicago federal court. The Thomas More Society, a law firm whose stated mission is to preserve the nation's Christian heritage, is asking the court to order Palatine District 211 to reverse its decision to allow a transgender girl to use bathrooms and locker rooms with other female students. In official documents, she's known as Student A. She was born male but identified as female from an early age. I spoke with Ed Yonka, the policy director for the ACLU of Illinois, who helped Student A gain access to those locker rooms. But first, we'll hear from Jocelyn Floyd, the Thomas More Society attorney who has filed the complaint against District 211, the U.S. Department of Education, and the U.S. Department of Justice. A few minutes into the interview, you'll hear a couple of bleeps where she mentioned the name of the specific high school Student A attends. Why don't you go ahead and describe the lawsuit?
It is to reverse the policy at this particular school district that allows biological males into the girls' locker rooms and bathrooms.
Okay, and that would be the one transgender female who has been the subject of a lot of news accounts, right?
Yeah, there's actually two policies in play here. So when the student first started high school, the school district changed their bathroom policy to allow any student to choose which bathroom they want to go to. They did this without notice to the parents. Before or after changing the policy. And then when this particular student has been the subject of news lately, was coming up on junior year, the student wanted more access in terms of locker rooms. So they had already accommodated the student by not forcing him to stay in the boys' locker room, so they gave a separate accommodation, and that wasn't enough for this particular student's desires. So Student A went to the Department of Education and the ACLU, and as a result of the Department of Education's investigation, it forced the school district to enter into an agreement to give this student access to the girls' locker rooms.
Okay, so a big part of the complaint outlines the logistics. Privacy stalls weren't put in the locker room, I think the PE locker room, but they're apparently in the middle of the room.
Yes, yeah, so Student A and any of the girls who wish to use it have to go through the locker room in order to access this privacy stall. So it doesn't eliminate the problem of having a biological male walking through the locker room when girls are in various states of undress.
So going in, coming out, Student A will still pass by other girls that may be undressed.
Yeah.
But Student A does use that privacy stall.
Yes. There is nothing that requires Student A to use the privacy stall, though. So Student A has agreed to do it, but it's not a binding agreement. It's not part of the contract. So at any point, Student A could decide, I'm done with this privacy stall, and come out and change in the main portion of the locker room.
And how many plaintiffs actually share the locker room with this student? Three?
I don't know the exact number. So we have a combination of plaintiffs. In the group, we have a total of 51 families, which is 136 students and parents. We have both girls and boys in the group. We have students at We have students in the same gym class with Student A. We also have students at the other high schools, and we have students who are current eighth graders but will be attending in the fall.
Okay, and actually, I think they're all being described as living in constant fear that they will be seen by a biological boy while they're changing clothes, right?
Yes.
Okay, so what did they tell you about that?
I mean, we're talking about high school gym class. If you can think back to when you were in high school, and it is a roller coaster of emotions time for high schoolers just in general. Going through puberty, bodies are changing, relationships are changing. So in the context of gym class, there is, in the locker room, you know, it's an open space. There's not a lot of privacy. They have installed privacy stalls in there, but they aren't completely private in that, you know, it's just a curtain, so there's often gaps and things can be seen. And then there was an instance where one girl chose to use one of the other privacy stalls and then was essentially bullied by some of the classmates. They called her transphobic, homophobic. And so as a result, she doesn't use the privacy stall because it just invites attacks from her, some of her fellow students. So the solution she's come up with is to literally wear her gym clothes underneath her street clothes the entire day. It's uncomfortable to strip down even in front of other girls. And so the knowledge that there's a biological boy in the room at the same time is, it's a very uncomfortable experience. It violates their fundamental right of privacy. And that is something that is blown off as not a big deal by the Department of Education, by the ACLU, by LGBT advocate groups. And it is a big deal. And all of these girls have a dignity to their human person that should be respected. And right now, it's not.
But I haven't seen anything where they're afraid that student A will interact with them in some way or, you know, attack them or touch them.
No, that's not the type of fear we're talking about. And so under Title IX, to have a hostile environment in the context of sexual harassment, it doesn't have to mean sexual assault.
And I just wanted to make clear, you're not alleging that they're in personal fear of an attack by this student.
No. No, there's two concerns when it comes to these types of open access policies. And one of them is the privacy rights that are invaded simply by virtue of allowing members of the opposite biological sex access. The fear of abuse is a separate fear. So when it comes to these policies in a more general matter, we're absolutely not saying that the transgender population is perverted or a predator. What we're saying is that those who are predators will take advantage of these types of regulations and laws and ordinances in order to have easier access to their prey. I mean, their predators preying on women. And so that's not at issue in our lawsuit. These girls are not afraid of assault or injury or anything from student A. They are afraid for their privacy, for their modesty. We have students who have whether it's a sense of modesty or just a sense of discomfort as their bodies are changing, but they do not want a biological male to see those intimate parts of their bodies, and it is a violation of their privacy rights to force them to be in a situation where that is something that could happen at any moment.
You're listening to Illinois Edition. I'm Dusty Rhodes, and that was Jocelyn Floyd, an attorney with the Thomas More Society, which is suing Palatine School District 211 for allowing a transgender girl known as Student A access to the school locker rooms. Ed Yonka with the ACLU of Illinois is on the opposite side of that debate. Tell me your relationship with Student A. Student A is at the center of this lawsuit and this entire transgender issue originating in Palatine School District. So should I refer to her as your client, or what is she?
Student A is our client. We represented her in her complaint before the Office of Civil Rights for the Office of Civil Rights for the Department of Education, and we continue to represent her and to be assured that her interests are being protected and respected as this process goes along.
Is it okay if I just ask how she's doing?
I would say that she's doing fine, but, you know, I think the last week or so has been somewhat difficult. I think some of the statements that were made in the complaint that was filed by the group who's opposed to the policies in District 211 were particularly hurtful to her and to her family. And it's something that, you know, we have been acutely aware of, that this is, you know, taken its toll on her at a time when she should be thinking about school and education and instead has been having to think about a whole lot of other larger issues.
Okay, so she's not named in the complaint or the lawsuit. The lawsuit is against District 211, the school board, the Department of Education, some federal officials, but not her and not the ACLU. But you're definitely, what would you say, interested parties?
The entire complaint is riddled with references to student A. It's riddled with false and misleading allegations and suggestions about student A, and it contains a great deal of information about student A. So there's no question that we are very interested in this. Beyond that, you know, just as a matter of course, we're actually in the process and we intend to file a motion very soon to intervene in this case because we think that student A's interests are so intimately wrapped up in this that they deserve to be represented. But beyond that, we frankly have heard from, you know, dozens of parents and members of the community and others who don't want the people who filed this motion to be the ones who are representing the entire community of parents and students in District 211. And so we expect that many of those people will want to join a motion to intervene to be part of this lawsuit. We've also heard from other students in District 211, some of whom are transgender, but not all, who are very concerned about the reversal of these policies simply because they also think it will affect the kind of educational opportunity and environment in which they go to school every day.
You said that this legal complaint, I think you called it false and misleading. What exactly are you referring to?
Well, there are allegations throughout the complaint, for example, that suggest that student A is somehow a threat to other students. There's a reference to a student who, quote unquote, saw student A in the bathroom four times in 1 week, as though that's somehow dangerous. There are allegations in there about harm to, for example, young women who may have been victims of sexual assault, when sexual assault experts will tell you that that's not the way it works. So I think what we see here is an effort globally on the part of the opponents to scare people or to suggest some, you know, dark, sinister activity where none exists. There are simply no reported cases of transgender students anywhere across the country, you know, acting in a way that is harmful or damaging to other students in either a public restroom or a locker room. This simply does not happen. One of the things I think that bothers me the most and bothers student A the most is that throughout the complaint, student A is referred to by male pronouns and as a boy. Student A is a girl. And the notion somehow that the filers of this complaint don't understand that really reflects either that they want to be willfully ignorant in order to further this agenda that they have, or alternately, you know, that they just don't understand what it means to be transgender. And I think that part of it is a little bit alarming because what it suggests is that they have entered into a discussion about an issue about which they simply do not understand the science or the medicine. And I don't know how they qualify to be part of that argument if they can't understand the first fundamental fact, which is that our client is a girl.
Well, they say in the complaint that their clients knew this student, student A, for years as a boy. And so in their minds, she's still a boy.
There are two things about that. One of the responses to that would be for parents and for the educational community in District 211, some of which they are doing now, would be to educate people about what it means to be transgender, about what it means to transition, about what the issues are and what they are not, which is this kind of threatening thing that is suggested throughout much of this. The second thing is the Justice Department, the Education Department talked about this last week when they issued their guidance on transgender students across the country. You know, they noted that the discomfort or the disquiet of a student or a group of students has never been a reason to withhold rights and access from another student. And that's essentially what they are asking the school district to do. What they're saying is, because they aren't comfortable, because they don't understand the science and the medicine, because they don't know what it means to be transgender, that our clients should have to continue to suffer. And that is simply not something that we accept under our Constitution and under our laws.
So one of the girls who's a plaintiff in this case has taken to wearing her PE clothes under her regular clothes so that she doesn't have to change. And she wears them all day. So even after she gets sweaty during PE, she keeps those clothes on just to avoid changing in the locker room with student A. Does that not sound like a genuine apprehension and fear?
If that child has that level of anxiety and fear, then perhaps they'd like to change in the nurse's office or one of the alternative facilities where our client had been compelled to dress for so long, and therefore, you know, each and every time she walked up and down the hallway from there was sort of outed as being the transgender student.
Well, but the complaint says that those, that the options to change somewhere other than the main locker rooms and restrooms, that those are inconvenient and inferior.
Yes, they are, which is why we objected to student A being relegated to those places. The irony is that they now claim that those options are inferior and inconvenient and can cause embarrassment, but they only want one student in the school to use them. They only want one set of students to use them, and those are the students who are transgender, and for no reason other than their own discomfort. And I think that argument ultimately, will not prevail in a legal setting.
Reporting for the Education Desk, I'm Dusty Rhodes.